across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Friday morning, May 17th, 2024. It's another beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network. And if you're joining us through the app, through social media, or podcast, we thank you for taking us along as well. I got a question for you. What the heck am I supposed to watch on TV now? Because our favorite show had been Young Sheldon, and the series finale was last night. And now that I've had a good cry, we got to figure out what's going to make us laugh next, you know, until we cry when that one goes away. There's plenty of favorite shows out there. There's just not one I'm really, you know, itching to get into next. Suggestions are always welcome. And you can tell us that by phone or just text us a message at 855-75-CIVIC. Again, 855-75-CIVIC on your phone or on your phone through the Civic Media app. Would be even better. You can almost, or you can also email us radio@upnorthnewswi.com. And if you're watching us on the Facebook pages of Up North News or Civic Media, or on our YouTube page as well for Up North News, you can put a comment there. We may see it and put it up on screen and respond to it. Again, Up North News is a separate entity from Civic Media. You can find out what we do over at Up North News. WI.com. Also coming up on the program this morning, we're just going to have a little bit of fun here with the fact that it's National Endangered Species Day. So we're going to give a special shout out to that modern day endangered species in American politics, the moderate Republican politician, at least the few left in captivity, which is odd. It's just odd because we have friends and neighbors all around us who strike us as, you know, nice, moderate Republicans. We don't agree on everything, but I'd sooner have one of them in office. But they're also not crazy enough, you know, or they're smart enough not to go through what you have to go through today, the political ringer, to be a Republican politician. There's so much extremism in there. And so, you know, while it's going to involve a little bit of mockery, we just, again, want to say to those folks who are basically just a little right of center. And I talked to a couple of those folks yesterday. I'm like, no, you're a good person, which is why I wish we could clone you and put the clone into politics instead. Unfortunately, the ones who are in some key offices right now are causing us a lot of trouble. In our second hour, we will talk about the debate over debates. We'll talk about that with Mark Jacob. And also another Chicago news veteran, Jennifer Schultz, is going to join us. Another one of my favorite people who comments online about media coverage of political events. For example, did you know that the Dow Jones Industrial Average hit 40,000 yesterday? It didn't close above 40,000, but it crossed over for a time. 40K. I'm old enough to remember Dow 10K and Dow 20K, and those were big deals. 30K as well, but a little less so. And now 40K, crickets out there. And we're going to talk to Mark and Jennifer about that, the difference in coverage compared to when there's a business Republican who's in office and all the trumpeting that is done about it at that point. We'll talk to former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel about the hush money election interference trial of Donald Trump, which for the most part this week has involved the cross-examination of Michael Cohen, which will continue on Monday. And then we'll see if we had two closing arguments after that. Dan Schumacher will be here later in the show to talk about sports. Kia Vakil will be here, Courier Newsroom national correspondent, in about 25 minutes or so to talk about this week's headlines. So all of that and so much more still ahead. It's kind of a busy news day here. So let's tell you about the temperatures, which I had to look up. I can't really see the thermometer because it is a foggy one up here on the lake, and it is foggy in many parts of Wisconsin, according to all the hazardous weather advisories that are warning you to drive carefully out there today. It is 47 here on Lake Wissota. We're still doing 30s out there. Hayward's at 38, Park Falls at 39, Wausau's at 46, Green Bay 52, La Crosse 53. It's 46 in Rapids, 53 in Oshkosh, Madison's at 50, Waukesha's at 50. I think it was yesterday, if not the day before. We were so close to everybody being in the 50s at 6 a.m. But now we still have a couple of 30s, which just tells me we haven't gotten to Memorial Day yet. A week from today, we start cruising into the weekend. We bring back the Yacht Rock on a more regular basis after we gave you a taste last week. But for now, you know, a little bit of 30s left up north. 50s to the south, where we find in Waukesha one Greg Bach and his t-shirt that is for WAUK. There it is. I had to see the little radio microphone and the call letters. Mr. Bach, how are you?
I'm doing well, Patrick.
Are you sure?
I'm doing great. Okay. I'm doing peachy keen, getting ready for the weekend. It's a very, another busy one. I'm hoping for good weather because yesterday I wanted to mow the lawn and I'm like, all right, it's looking good. I feel like I'm going to get a couple hours of sunshine to get started. As soon as I pulled off the freeway onto 142 in Kenosha, just everything was wet. I'm like,
no,
come on.
Well, if you need to forget about it for a while, I know a comedy club you could go to over the weekend. And
I've heard of comedy.
You have? Good.
I have.
I think a dose of that would do you some good. You got anything to tell us about it at any nearby comedy clubs there in the greater Milwaukee area?
Well, a great comedy club in the greater Milwaukee area is the Laughing Tap, my friend. Serving up comedy hot and fresh. And did you know this? It's Milwaukee's city, the city of Milwaukee. It's the only, well, actually, I think it's the county too, the only stand-up comedy club in the area. There's none others. There's one in Waukesha County, but in Milwaukee, if you're in the city and you want to watch some stand-up, we are the game in town, my friend. The Laughing Tap, located on 5th Street in historic Walker's Point.
I genuinely did not know that, and I'm a little surprised.
Yeah, we used to have a bunch of comedy. We had one called the Comedy Cafe that was in Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. There's one outside the city limits called Jokers. They're all gone now. There was one called Giggles back in the day in Germantown. That's gone. But we are the only stand-up comedy club in the city. And this weekend, I got good news and bad news, Pat. What do you want first?
I want the bad news.
Bad news is tonight's show is going to be an amazing show with Mr. Neil Hamburger.
That's the bad news.
That's okay. The bad news because both shows are sold out.
Okay. Well, at least we know about them. And that way people know you got to look ahead of time. You got to look on the website and see who's coming and get those tickets.
Yep. But tomorrow, my friend Kristen Lighty, who has released her first album called Disassociation Vacation, which is currently sitting in the top five in most charts for comedy records, if not number one, she is going to be in town tomorrow headlining our local Laughs Showcase, which will be at 7:30. Tickets are still available. And then afterwards, stick around because we're just going to have a fun get-together, album release party. It's free. You can cut on down. You can hang out, have a cocktail with wonderful Wisconsin spirits, Wisconsin beers on tap and in cans. So it'll be a fun time. But laughingtap.com is where you'll find that information. But yeah, as you said, you want to come to shows, especially a show like Neil Hamburger, who is, it's hard to describe Neil, but yeah, his shows sell out. He's what's called anti-comedy. Some people say, I don't know if I believe in that. Comedy is comedy. It makes people laugh, but it's also got a hint of performance art to it. So
there you go.
But yeah, okay. It's gonna be a fun time. And then hopefully tomorrow I'll be able to mow my lawn.
Here's open. Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
In sports, the Brewers are in Houston to open up their longest road trip of the season. 9 games in 10 days. 3 in Houston, 3 in Miami, 3 in Boston. They will be back home on Memorial Day to open a 7-game Chicago-themed homestand. 4 against the Cubs, then 3 against the White Sox. But that's all after this road trip that opens tonight in Houston. Freddie Peralta on the mound. You can listen to the pregame starting at 6:35 on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Racine, Kenosha, Oshkosh, and Park Falls. The WIAA has decided that Campbellsport High School senior Josh Awunale can compete in the track meets left here. I think it's regionals and state. There had been this decision by the WIAA that he was ineligible because his parents are currently in Africa. They are missionaries. But they have a home in the district. And the rule about parental residency, I mean, it was much more about, you know, school districts near each other, you know, trying to recruit athletes from across town. It wasn't about your parents are in service overseas. And so I'm glad to see the reversal on that, because this kid has one of the fastest 100-meter sprint times on record in Wisconsin high school history. So there's a little bit of sports for you. And as mentioned a few minutes back, and I don't have anything too profound to say about the finale of Young Sheldon. Well, maybe a little bit of profound and then a little bit of ha-ha. Here's the profound. Life doesn't always give you neat, you know, closures. Certainly that was the case with, you know, Sheldon deciding not to say anything at his father's funeral. You know, his sister, there was still drama. She stormed out near the end. And so it's one of the things about TV now is they don't feel like they have to tie everything up in a nice little bow. And that's okay, especially in this case where, I mean, this was a spinoff from The Big Bang Theory, and now they're going to have their own spinoff, which I think is going to be good, especially since they're going back to the live audience multi-camera format that made Big Bang Theory work so well. You know, they did this thing with Young Sheldon, which was a big departure, Greg, doing the, you know, the one camera thing. It had much more, you know, there was more room for drama. And I'm glad Chuck Lorre is taking the new sitcom back into kind of the studio, you know, in studio, live audience thing. I think that'll be nice.
I agree. I like both shows. I've not dove into Young Sheldon yet. I'll probably start it soon, but, one thing I do, I agree with you. I don't think we deserve all stories tightly tied up and presented neatly. I think we deserve good stories, and not all stories end with the happiest of endings.
No, and as it turned out, all of us who watched Big Bang Theory, we knew that Sheldon's father would die when he did, because, but it turned out our in-laws, God bless them, they weren't Big Bang Theory fans, so they were shocked.
They
never knew. They didn't see it coming. And by the way, I didn't see the very last segment, like 30 seconds or whatever, the very last bit. The DVR stopped. See? We'll unpack the news after this. This is Up North News Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
You're trying hard not to show it, baby. But baby, believe me, I know it's it. You've lost that love and fear.
No, not the Righteous Brothers.
Not at all.
This would be the bar karaoke scene in Top Gun.
Well, it takes a special kind of woman, I would believe, to be sitting in a bar with like 30 men singing at her.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness, yes. Or just really poor decision-making.
Yeah.
Anyway, Top Gun was released on this day in 1986. We'll play it. Some more traditional music that you might remember from the movie coming up in today's history lesson, just a few minutes from now. So as mentioned, there was some good economic news out yesterday. The Dow Jones Industrial Average crossed 40,000 for a time. The NASDAQ has been in record territory, the S&P. You wouldn't necessarily know it from national media that used to fawn all over those numbers, but now suddenly it's like, well, you know, those numbers might not be as significant as they say. Here's a number that is significant. The new Wisconsin unemployment rate. It's below 3% now. The Department of Workforce Development released the stats from the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics for April that showed the seasonally adjusted unemployment rate is down to 2.9%. And that's a full percentage point below the national rate. The total number of people with a job in Wisconsin, 3 million. 35,300. The state added another 1,000 private sector jobs over the month of April. There was, except for, of course, in the Chippewa Valley, where we're dealing with two hospital closings, there the healthcare and social assistance jobs sector grew significantly. Wisconsin now has 420,000 people working in the healthcare social assistance jobs sector. In fact, I don't know if Greg has the audio ready, but it occurred to me that between what is happening with Governor Evers in Wisconsin on the employment situation, and then, of course, the healthy numbers at the national level, and the Dow hitting 40,000, I thought, it's weird, because the one thing that Joe Biden always says that he got done that Donald Trump said he would do but didn't do was Infrastructure Week. But now you've got the Dow at 40,000. You've got economic growth that's above every other developed nation in the world. It seems like Joe Biden got something else done that Donald Trump said he was going to get done but didn't.
We're going to win with health care and for our veterans. We're going to win with every single facet. We're going to win so much you may even get tired of winning. And you'll say, please, please, it's too much winning. We can't take it anymore. Mr. President, it's too much. And I'll say, no, it isn't. We have to keep winning. We have to win more. We're going to win more.
So much winning, which waited to happen until, you know, the next guy was in office. But that's part of the, you know, situation that you have here, why we were talking about the Endangered Species Day and, you know, moderate Republicans and the people that we all know. We all know people in our lives who are a little left of center, and you'd say, yeah, I'd like to see that person in office, or a little right of center, and you'd say, God, they'd make a good person, a good public servant. Not everybody. I mean, not look at the person next to you, he said, bringing Greg into the picture. I don't know that I'd...
Wait, I'm next to you. Hey, ha!
Oh, wait a minute. Maybe you have run for office. I don't.
Oh, I'd never run for office. Nuh-uh.
Okay, good. God, thank goodness. You're a smart man. And that's frankly what we need more of. I was interviewed by Matt Rothschild from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. He's recently retired from there. And he's working on a podcast series that is going to be part of the Civic Media family. And I helped him with recording an interview here in Chippewa Falls yesterday with Kathy Bernier, the former state senator, the former Chippewa County clerk. So she knows how elections work. And so that's why she was practically the only Republican legislator, if not the only one, to call it like it was, to say there was nothing rigged about the elections. Trump lost. Biden won. And she was more or less chased out of office as a result, but she's now doing work with Keep Our Republic to help restore people's faith in elections, the faith that Republicans have been tearing down through lies. And then after helping Matt Rothschild interview Kathy Bernier, he and I talked for about an hour. And again, about the conversations that we have in real life, what you hear on the radio probably is a little heavier on news and politics than in your everyday conversations. And that's fine. We appreciate you being here. But then, you know, eventually you go out into the world and people are talking about other things. The conversation might be steered toward politics and people will say, no, I really don't want to get into that right now. I can't say that I blame them. But we also talked about how I'm one of those rare folks who, when people start trashing politics overall, I stop them. I'm like, no, there's good people out there. There's good people serving. There's good ideas that need to be talked about. If we turn all of our politics into cartoon characters, we're going to get cartoon characters as our president and in our Congress and everything else. And we have some of that to a degree because of the way we love to trash all politics. And we've got to get away from that. We've got to embrace, you know, the frankly, the moderates among us. You can have values that are rather far to the left or rather far to the right. But if you don't recognize that sometimes you have to compromise and take half a loaf, if it's always my way or the highway and you take an extremist position, you're either never going to get anything done, or when you do get something done, you're going to have a lot of people working against you because they don't want to be on the far right or the far left. So all of this is to say that, you know, to the extent that the endangered species isn't just the moderate Republican, it's also the endangered species is the person who remembers that politics is supposed to be about public service. It's supposed to be about governing. And let's embrace that again. And then finally, on a serious note about Endangered Species Day, as noted by Civic Media on their news sites, the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is honoring Endangered Species Day by making it a lot easier for you to purchase endangered species plates. And so take a look at the Civic Media news site to find out how you can get a rebate that helps you get the Endangered Resources license plate for your vehicle. Vice President Kamala Harris was in Milwaukee yesterday and talking about black homeownership and economic opportunity, and also talking about medical debt. She covered a lot of different topics, along with Dale Hughley, the comedian who helped her kind of moderate a discussion before a packed audience. They got to talking about the challenges faced by communities of color, the lack of generational wealth because of, you know, generations of institutional racism, and now, of course, the backlash from people who are in denial that such, you know, ever existed or still existed. And so she, again, was talking to an audience where every sector is going to matter. Okay, the things that she had to say yesterday were very important to a Milwaukee audience, very important to communities of color. That's very important. Just as the things that have been said and done, frankly, for rural Wisconsin are very important. And of course, we've talked about the suburbs and how important suburban voters are. And I think it's important that whether they're talking about infrastructure, education, healthcare, every one of these things matter because every group, every person wants to feel like that presidential candidate or that vice president knows them, knows about them, knows about the things that they go through. And isn't just, say, you know, hurling insults from a podium or from a courthouse where they're on trial. We'll talk more about that with Courier Newsroom national correspondent Kia Vakil in just a moment on this Friday morning. You're up north. I'm Pat Reitlum. You've lost that love and fear, and now it's gone. Welcome back. It's time to start to put an exclamation point on the weekend with all of our great Friday guests. We're going to have Mark Jacob coming up along with a little special addition, Jennifer Schultz. We will have Dan Schumacher coming up to wrap things up to talk about sports. We'll have former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel talking about the legal aspects of the Trump trial coming up in all of that in our next hour. But in this hour, of course, as always, Courier Newsroom national correspondent Kia Vakil joins us from Los Angeles. Kia, how are you?
I'm pretty well, Pat. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for asking. We're going to start with the Trump trial as well, but not the legal aspects. We'll get to that with Jim in our next hour here. But instead, the whole notion of the politicization of this trial. And now I get Trump's supporters are all like, oh, this is all politics. You know, this is politicization of the Justice Department. No, if you look at the evidence, you know, it was a crime and et cetera. But they're thinking, well, why don't we politicize this? And the way that they have is just, it's comical. I was trying to find a way to say troubling, but I mean, it was just funny to see all of these Trump sycophants come in all dressed in a Trump suit, you know, with the blue coat and the red long tie. And it is maybe serious, especially the Speaker of the House showing up, but it was kind of funny.
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, it's embarrassing. It's
embarrassing. You know, that's better. Yes.
Yeah. It's amazing how shameless these people are, whether it's Rick Scott or, I mean, J.D. Vance might be the most shameless person alive.
Oh, yes.
After spending all of 2016, you know, opposing Trump, he's now showing up at his trial to, you know, what, vie for a VP slot? You know, we have North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum. The Dakota governor who did not shoot their dog, this one did show up at the trial. Mike Johnson showed up. Vivek Ramaswamy showed up. It is just, you know, dozens of House Republicans showed up. I think on Thursday we saw Lauren Boebert show up and Matt Gaetz and Andy Biggs and basically the craziest of the crazies. And, you know, it's just, you know, I don't know if I can curse on here, but it's butt kissing, basically. I'll go with the PG version.
Go with that, yeah. It was, and again, the most serious one, of course, was the Speaker of the House being there, yep. Trying to undermine, you know, the justice system in the U.S. But we've already mentioned that earlier. We'll just set that aside and just note this clown car, if you will, that's coming through. And I say all that mostly, Kia, because I don't see any strategic advantage to this. What Trump was hoping for was an organic showing of his people, you know, that crowds would come in on par maybe with January 6th and show their support. And instead it's been tumbleweeds, you know, a few crackpots. And so this is the best that he can do. He can't get his own family to come in. So these are the people that, you know, will suck up to him more than his family.
Yeah. I mean, the Republican Party has become, you know, people joke about it, but no, it's become a cult. Like at this point, you know, there's not even Mitt Romney saying Biden should have pardoned Trump. I mean, what are we doing here? Like, it's just,
I'd forgotten all about that till you mentioned that came up yesterday or the day before. Mitt Romney saying that, yeah, Biden should have pardoned Trump right away. And with that, Romney loses all the goodwill that he'd built up as being a guy who you thought was for law and order.
Yeah. I mean, look, Mitt Romney is, I don't want to compliment Mitt Romney, but, you know, he's one of the few people who's at least willing to publicly criticize Trump when it's merited. But yeah, then you go and say he should have been pardoned. Then what, like, you're contradicting yourself. You know, it's very much this, you know, party over country thing that we've seen define the right for the past basically 15 years. And it just gets worse and worse and worse. And, you know, Romney's retiring. All these other, you know, handfuls of moderate Republicans who might have who were in, you know, Congress in 2017 when Trump took office the first time, they'll all be gone if he wins in the fall. And so it'll just be a cult from top to bottom.
Without a doubt. And so, well, thanks, Mitt, for giving, you know, us moments of hope. But we go back to, again, the same old not making laws or policy that's going on in Congress with this bunch. And the latest example is they've already failed in the effort in Congress by Republicans to impeach Joe Biden. And yet they continue trying to make anything stick to the point where the White House had to assert executive privilege over the audio interviews that were done with Robert Hur, the special counsel that interviewed him some time back. Because again, Kia, there doesn't seem to be any strategic advantage to this.
No, I mean, they've spent at this point nearly a year and a half tripping over themselves, stepping on rakes, embarrassing themselves in public week after week after week, trying to impeach Biden and then impeach Mayorkas and then impeach Garland and impeach anybody under the sun who works in the White House, apparently, and trying to, you know, whataboutism, you know, Trump's crimes with what Hunter Biden's misdeeds that Joe Biden did not do, and that also pale in comparison to what Trump is accused of. This has been a political hatchet job for a year and a half, and they've failed every single time because it's nonsense. And I'm not saying that as, you know, some big defender of Joe Biden or the Biden family. I'm saying that as someone who can read and can listen to things and understands basic facts, you know. And this latest thing is just another effort for them to try to politicize the justice system and really just try to ding Biden ahead of the election. And, you know, again, if they had any shame, it would surprise me, but they have no shame. There's not a single ounce of shame in Congress on the Republican side of the aisle.
Or again, as I keep coming back to, you know, just a sense of, hey, what are the nation's problems and can we help solve them? For folks who don't recall, it was Robert Hur was the special counsel who eventually cleared Biden of any criminal wrongdoing, you know, in his own case of having some documents that contain national security items on there. But along with clearing the president of criminal wrongdoing, he also said some things that were, you know, seemed overtly partisan in terms of their critiques of the president, you know, as being an elderly man with a poor memory. And so now Republicans want the audio of those interviews. The Attorney General Merrick Garland says, no, you don't need that. You have the transcript. House Republicans want to hold him in contempt. And the White House is like, no, we're done playing that game. And so there's the latest on that soap opera.
Yeah.
That's because you've got a president or a former president who's, again, focused on bigger things. And by bigger things, I mean $1 billion that Donald Trump wants oil company executives to raise for him. And it's not even a Dr. Evil joke from Austin Powers. He literally solicited a $1 billion bribe, it sounds to me.
Yeah, so Donald Trump, you know, famously of drill, baby, drill, wants, you know, does not believe in climate change, very much as, you know, an ally of the oil and gas industry that have polluted our communities for decades. And, you know, in April, he apparently had dinner with several oil industry executives where he asked them to donate a collective $1 billion to his campaign. In exchange, he would roll back Biden's environmental policies and stop any future efforts at, you know, restricting emissions or addressing climate change from being enacted. You know, he said that this would be a quote-unquote deal for them because they would, you know, save money on taxation and regulation. You know, he famously gave corporations a huge tax cut that he wants to, that Republicans want to extend. The folks at this dinner included executives from ExxonMobil, Chevron, ConocoPhillips, Continental Resources, you know, and people from the American Petroleum Institute, which is a trade association. And so, you know, big oil is already creating a list of policies that they would want a potential, you know, President Trump again to embrace if he returns to the White House. That would roll back a lot of the Biden agenda. And, you know, those efforts that the Biden administration has made are, you know, intended to protect communities and promote clean energy and protect us from air pollution and water pollution and environmental pollution. And, you know, Biden or Trump, you know, does not care about any of that. All he cares about is winning and staying out of prison. And so he's pretty much soliciting bribes. They are technically legal because he's, you know, just asking for donations, but they're certainly not ethical. And so, you know, and people have said, you know, other, you know, executives have pointed out that a lot of that money would probably go to paying some of his legal fees. And that's, you know, that pretty much sums up where we're at right now is that, you know, a Republican candidate for president is charged with 91 counts, four different trials, asking big oil executives to give him $1 billion so he can avoid prison, go back to the White House, and save them billions of dollars.
Okay, I feel dirty enough. Let's move on to some of the good news of the week here. We mentioned in passing some days back, but I wanted to mention it again, that the IRS, again, when you actually provide government with the resources it needs, it can be efficient. If you're one of those folks that says government never works and then you starve it of resources, well, then you only, it's self-fulfilling prophecy. So how about if we have the IRS actually doing their job efficiently, and we see a new example of that under the Biden administration?
Yeah, so the IRS, which, you know, most people are not a fan of the agency, understandably, but part of that reason is because they have been defunded for decades and so have had terrible wait times, have not been able to really enforce taxes on the rich and corporations appropriately. But, you know, look what happens. They got a lot of funding from the Inflation Reduction Act, and this month announced that they're going to increase audits of large corporations and people earning over $10 million a year. And so, you know, that will mean basically people who've been using tax loopholes, who've dodged paying their taxes, companies that have exploited the tax system, are going to get audited and are going to have to pay, you know, their fair share, just like a teacher does, just like a doctor does, just like a farmer does, just like you and I do. These companies and these people who are millionaires or billion-dollar companies, like, they can pay their taxes. We live in an incredibly wealthy system in an incredibly wealthy country, and the Republican Party has defunded the IRS for years until now, until the Biden administration changed that. And lo and behold, what we're seeing is that the IRS has already used some of that funding to go after 1,600 millionaires who had unpaid tax bills of at least $250,000. And they've recouped $520 million from that. And so, you know, that's money that will fund social programs, that will fund defense, that will fund veterans affairs programs. And so, you know, this government can work when it's properly funded. We saw that for decades. But, you know, over the last 40 years, this belief in, you know, gutting the government that started with Reagan has effectively, you know, reduced belief in government. And, you know, the Biden administration is trying to turn that around, and it's going to take some time, but this is progress.
One of the more recent examples that we're going to close on here is the relatively new Consumer Financial Protection Bureau to look out for consumers, you know, against the big banks. It was something that our former congressman up here, Sean Duffy, Republican from Wall Street, famously was always tilting at and trying to defund and trying to eliminate. But the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau is here to stay after a ruling by the conservative-led U.S. Supreme Court.
Yeah. So the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, it's a mouthful, you know, was created after the 2008 Great Recession, you know, famously an idea of Elizabeth Warren's. It's effectively meant to protect consumers and prevent, you know, what happened in 08 from happening again, prevent another Great Depression from happening again. And that is such an anathema to Republicans, apparently, and conservative judges, that they have been trying to kill it effectively since it was created. On Thursday, though, the Supreme Court, which again is a 6-3 conservative court, this lawsuit was so crazy, even to them, that Clarence Thomas wrote a decision ruling against the plaintiffs, upholding the funding of the CFPB. Do you know how crazy you have to be to have Clarence Thomas say, nah, this is too much for me? But that's what happened.
Yes. And so we will continue to see the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, which was originated by Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren, a bureau that has already returned $19 billion to consumers since its creation, a legacy that's only been picked up by Joe Biden going after junk fees and overcharges and things like that, is going to be around for the foreseeable future. Courier Newsroom national correspondent Kia Vakil, glad we could close on a positive note. Thanks for walking us through this week's headlines.
You're welcome. Anytime.
Yeah, have a great weekend. We will have today's history lesson coming up next here up north. Should have had aviators to put on for this.
Just true,
sunglasses,
yeah.
Sunglasses on.
I mean,
put the visor down on her helmet.
Does it get more 80s of an intro like that?
No.
That
no.
Synthesizer. Bow, 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 bow.
This is what's Kenny Loggins. It's a Kenny Loggins doing a movie soundtrack.
Yeah.
That is as ultimate 80s as it gets. As Top Gun was released on this day in 1986. Also, in today's history lesson, I know we've mentioned this once before when the investigation started, but it was on this day in 1965 that the FBI ended its 2-year investigation into the song Louie Louie by the Kingsmen and determined after 2 years of investigation that the largely indecipherable lyrics are not obscene, which... It's like the Enigma Project in World War II. It's like, what were you all doing to try to find, you know, a naughty word in there?
But you know right now there's some guy in a basement that belongs to his mother in with red yarn pointing all these different directions. You know, but you don't understand, man.
Don't understand. At 25.2 seconds, I distinctly heard, you know, booger or something. You know, nothing obscene in there. On this day in 1900, the children's novel The Wonderful Wizard of Oz by L. Frank Baum was first published in the United States. This is the anniversary from 1954 of the U.S. Supreme Court's Brown v. Board of Education from Topeka, Kansas, outlawing racial segregation in public schools. So that's a lot of this historical stuff. Let's get back to the music. And I wish now, looking at these next 3-4 songs, I wish I'd have found whichever comedian it was. I think it was Robin Williams. Kind of did the old Lawrence Welk impression, because these next few songs are from a more funkadelic era. And I'd love to hear Robin Williams doing Lawrence Welk going, and now, boys and girls, we're going to get down, get funky. We start with On This Day in 1970, at a studio in Jackson, Mississippi. First, this song was recorded by Gene Knight.
Ah, here we go.
So if we played Top Gun, Danger Zone, and that was the sound of 1986, this is the song, the sound of 1970.
Yeah.
People go, what, you know, the bell bottoms and you're walking down the street and, you know, all these pastel colors out there. On that same day, in that same studio in Jackson, Mississippi, King Floyd comes in and records Groove Me. And it goes like this. Again, the sound of 1970.
You're walking with a little more pep in your step, a little more like.
Yep. But you're doing it with your little Panasonic transistor radio because the boombox hadn't been invented yet.
Yeah.
But later on, you'd have that.
Oh, my now, God. Can I just play the beginning again?
Yes, absolutely. Kill that. Put the needle back on at the beginning and hit it.
Come on. Okay.
And you know, whoever the engineer was in the studio that day was just like, today is a good day.
Yeah. I like my job.
I like my job. Just 5 years later, Earth, Wind, and Fire topped the album charts on this day with their sixth album. We'll hear the title track from the album later. The album was That's the Way of the World. Here's the intro to one of the other singles from that album. Again, what does 1975 sound like? Sounds like this. Don't hurt yourself when you do it. Get ready and hit it.
Oh, that horn.
You didn't pull a muscle, I hope. Whether you were doing an air guitar or just pumping your fist in the air. In fact, you know what? Allow me. You enjoyed the last one so much.
Yeah.
Can we do that one again?
Yeah, of course, of course. Here we go.
Okay. You're a shining star.
Bring in the horns. One, two, hit it.
You know what? We need to remix this so that when those horns come, you hear King Floyd's initial from the group. I think that would sync up beautifully.
I need to get a King Floyd.
And then one more. It was on this day in 2013 that Daft Punk released their fourth album, Random Access Memories. It became their first number one album in the U.S., and I'm pretty sure this was the big single off of that. Again, you're kind of walking down the street, but this time you've got your MP3 player going.
Goosebumps. As someone who is the owner of a Daft Punk tattoo, this guy, I could talk about this group for hours.
Is that what you were showing me on camera?
No, this is a different tattoo. I'm just saying I have goosebumps right now because I've heard this song dozens upon dozens of times. I still love this song. You got Nile Rodgers on guitar, Pharrell on vocals. Come on!
So we had ourselves a funky old time here on today's history lesson.
So fun.
One more note from history. It was on this day in 2009 that the video game Minecraft was first released to the public while still in development. And I wouldn't know the first thing about it if it hadn't been for the 9-year-old grandson who plays it endlessly.
My little niece, I went to their house.
So good at it.
Yeah. Oh, my God. They do was, like, I sit there. It would take me... What takes my niece 2 hours to do, it would take me 4 days.
Oh, yes.
She's like, do you want to see my houses? I'm like, your houses? And she made 11 houses on that game. Like, mansion castles.
I look when my little guy's doing that, and I'm just like, do you have Pong on here? Or Pac-Man or something more my speed?
Grandfather.
Grandpa, go sit down. It is Endangered Species Day, as we mentioned earlier. Today is Hypertension Awareness Day. Today is National Bike to School Day. And it also notes here it's Bike to School Safely Day. I don't think you really had to put that one in there, but let's emphasize, don't bike to school if there isn't a safe route there. And if there isn't a safe route there, you know, talk to your local officials. They should do something about that. Today is National Pizza Party Day, National Walnut Day, National Cherry Cobbler Day, National Pinot Grigio Day, and today is International Day Against Homophobia, Transphobia, and Biphobia. And in honor of that, the five or six people who still, whoever had a jersey from the Kansas City Chiefs kicker, you can set that one on fire today.
Could you
just, just to mark the day.
No, who besides his family owns those jerseys?
Nobody. Nobody. I mean, so that we're not in danger of anything burning down today. I'm quite sure of that. In our second hour, always a packed 7 a.m. hour on Fridays, former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel will be here. Dan Schumacher will be here. Mark Jacob and Jennifer Schultz. All ahead on Up North News Radio.